Chapter 44, Psalm 44. I had read this psalm this week, and the Lord was really just speaking to me through it. And I prepared this one day. I don't do this often, but one day this week, the weather was really nasty, and I thought, you know, I'm staying home today. And so I did my studies at home, and I worked on this psalm, and I got it all done. And boy, it just seemed so familiar, you know, when I got it done. And I asked Tracy, I said, have I preached from this lately? And she looked at it, and she says, she read through it. She says, no, I'd remember that. And I said, okay. And so that next day I came to the office, went through all my notes, trying to find out if I'd preached from it. And it hadn't been that long since I preached from it. And so anyhow, I thought, well, if she can forget it that quick, then maybe you guys did too. But it was on a Wednesday night. Wednesday nights, we've been trying to deal with a lot of psalms here and there. And so if you weren't able to come Wednesday nights, then of course you missed that. So some of you, it might seem like a repeat, but I assure you it's fresh off the press. All right, I got it ready this week. But it was kind of interesting. I went back and compared what I prepared this week to what I prepared like a year and a half ago. And it was just kind of neat just to kind of see, to compare those messages, not knowing at all, you know, that I'd already done that. So it's got a little different spin to it, but overall, basically all the same message. And so anyhow, I guess that was kind of good. It means I was trying to be faithful to what the Word said. So there's some comfort in that as well. Psalm 44, the title of this message, though, we want to give it is Trusting God in Confusion. Trusting God in Confusion. We're going to see the psalmist confused in this psalm. Now, throughout this message, we will eventually read this whole chapter. I'm not going to start, you know, the whole chapter, but it will unfold as we go through it this morning, as we read a little bit and try to show the mindset of the psalmist and what he's going through, what he's experiencing, how he's praying, how he's talking to God. And let's go, Lord, word of prayer, and we'll begin in just a moment. Father in heaven, I pray for your help. Lord, this morning, as we come unto the Holy Scriptures, and as you have led us this week to this psalm to share this morning, I pray for your guidance today, Lord. Father, I pray for those of your people this morning that, Lord, maybe are in a time in their life to where definitely maybe they're confused. Lord, maybe they have been serving you faithfully, and maybe things in their life are discouraging. Lord, maybe things aren't coming out as they had hoped or as they had planned. Lord, maybe they had thought that things should be better at this point in their life because they've been trying to serve you and follow you, but in their own mind it's not. And Lord, maybe they're confused. And Lord, I pray that as we see the emotions and the faith of the psalmist and this psalm we look at, I pray that it would touch our hearts and help us to identify, Lord, possibly our struggles that we're going through. And Father, I pray that any of your people this morning that, Lord, feel forsaken or feel like that they're defeated in their life and spiritually. And Father, I just pray that this will be a comfort and encouragement to them to keep trusting you and keep following you. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. The word confusion speaks of disorder. Something that's irregular, indistinct. In other words, it doesn't seem to fit. We're confused when we can't put our thoughts together, can't connect them maybe with what's going on, with what we think, what we see, with what we feel. The word confusion is used often to speak about the tower. When you look up the word confusion in the old dictionary, sometimes it mentions that. Tower of Babel, there was a lot of noise. A lot was being said, but no connection of thought. There was no understanding of what was being said. Sometimes we can be in the midst of trusting. We can be in the midst of following and serving God while God is allowing certain things to happen in our life and we get confused. We are looking, we are searching, trying to figure out what God is saying to us at the moment, and we are confused, trying to figure it all out.
Things that are happening in our life don't seem to match up with what we think, with what we feel, and sometimes with even what we perceive from the Word of God. We see the psalmist struggle in this psalm. He's confused as to why the people of God are going through what they are going through at the moment. You ever felt like that? We do often, don't we? Let's break down this as we look at this chapter and see what is going on with the psalmist. Let's start with the reading of verse 1 through 3. He says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work Thou didst in their days in the times of old. How Thou didst drive out the heathen with Thy hand and plantest them. How Thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but Thy right hand and Thine arm and the light of Thy countenance, because Thou hast a favor unto them." The psalmist, in talking to God right now, is recollecting. He's remembering, if you would, the victories of old that were told him by the fathers of old. Now, when we are faced with difficulty in our life and are needing, if you would, to remember to trust the Lord, it can help us to remember the accounts and the testimonies shared with us by previous generations. That's what the psalmist is doing here. "We've heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us." And so we can be encouraged to trust God just as they did in the accounts that they have shared with us. Now, this also teaches us something, I think, to us today. Not only can we glean from, if you would, encouragement from those that have trusted the Lord before us, but this teaches us that we need to be telling our children the things that God has done for us and has brought us through. We need to pass those things down. It was important many times to Israel that God would tell them that they should erect, if you would, stones as reminders to what God did for them. So it teaches us that we need to tell our children the things that the Lord has done for us. In telling them also, we are reminding ourselves that it is not our strength that has gotten us to where we are. And we're also informing the next generation that it did not always look like it does now. I think that is so important to remember. There were struggles that we went through. Our faith was tried. There were times where we almost quit and gave up. And sometimes we failed the Lord. We sometimes made great mistakes and bad decisions. And I think that sometimes the younger generation or new believers may come into a congregation and can be ignorant, if you would, of the path that has brought us to where we were. And so I think it's important for them to understand sometimes the things that we went through to get to where we are in our life personally and where we are maybe as a church as a whole. They can be different of the challenges, the tears, the struggles, the defeats we had, and the victories. And by recalling them, we instruct them and inform the younger in the faith that life will not be easy. I hate to say it, but I have known of people who have left the church before because they didn't feel like that we were a struggling church. Isn't that odd? That we kind of had it together and people here don't have problems like they have problems. We have problems, don't we, still today? And no matter what people might perceive in regards to looking at the church, we still have struggles today. We might come in and things look good as we come into the Lord's house and we come together peaceably and we come in and sing to the Lord and pray and we hear the Word and we got a great church and people love each other and we're at peace and we get along. But that doesn't mean that in our individual lives that there aren't struggles that each of us have. And we do. And sometimes that there's not a deeper connection in the body of Christ that goes beyond these four doors or four walls, we can lose that perspective. And I think it can actually hurt us if we're not careful. And so it's important, I think, to share those times and struggles and let people know that everything you see here and the unity and the blessedness of the house of God that we experience, man, there's still many difficulties in our life and there's difficulties that we have went through as individuals and as a church. Not recalling them to reminisce in the glory days, not what I'm talking about, but giving thanks to God that He has brought us through some things. And by recalling them, we remind ourselves that God worked through it all, and He is the one that has brought us to where we are. You see, David gleaned from the testimonies of old, passing down the testimonies and experiences that God has done in our life can encourage others today to trust God. I mean, when you older ladies see younger mothers struggling with their children, and you see they're struggling maybe with making them mind or keeping them quiet or in school, come along beside them and tell them that their struggles are real. Don't criticize them, but remember that you were once there and you experienced those things too. And they must keep trying to do right and serve the Lord and trust Him, and that they will get better. We need to remind each other of those kind of things. Passing down the testimonies and experiences that God has done in our life can encourage them to trust God in their times of confusion. And it gets confusing sometimes when you feel like you're trying your best to do right, to serve the Lord, and it just seems like you feel defeated days upon days. To trust God when things sometimes don't make sense. To trust God when they have experienced defeat and failure, even though they've been serving Him faithfully. The psalmist heard what others have said of God, and this encourages him to lay hold of God in his own life at this time. And that's the kind of things we need to be passing down to encourage others. We can take our testimonies of what God has done and encourage others in their time when they need to trust and follow God. Look what he says next, though, in verse 4 through 8. So he reminisces, if you would. He remembers, he recollects the memories of old of what people have told him. Verse 4, he responds with this. I love this. After he talks about what the Lord had done for them, what God has done for them, he says this: Thou art my King. I love that. Thou art my King, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. What's he saying? Lord, do it again. Through Thee will we push down our enemies. Through Thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But Thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise Thy name forever. In response to what he knows that God has done for his people in the past, he declares, Thou art my King. O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Lord, based on the testimony of others, you showed up and you delivered them. He's saying, deliver us now. We are going to trust you. We're going to follow you. But you, and by you, O God, we too shall push down our enemies. We too shall experience victory. He wanted to experience victory just as others had. Lord, They trusted you. You worked for them. Lord, you're our king. Work for us. He was confident. He was confident that he too would find victory. He says he would fight in the name of the Lord. He would not trust in his bow. This isn't a self-confidence thing. He would not trust in his own strength or talent. He would not trust in his bow or his sword. When verse 7 and 8 come into play, you need to understand what's going on. When you read the whole context, it's clear. It may not jump out at you at first. But in verse 7 and 8, he was looking forward. As he trusts the Lord, he was looking forward and hoping in. He was looking forward for the time when he would look back and he would say, "The Lord saved us from our enemies." You see that? He's looking forward. He's thinking ahead. I'm going to trust God and we're going to say this. The psalmist was expecting to one day look back and say, "The Lord saved us. The Lord delivered us." So he expected victories of his own. He expected victories of his own. And we too should want victories of our own. We too should not want to live off of the past of those who have walked before us. It should not be enough that our grandparents or parents faithfully served the Lord. It's not enough that they took us faithfully to the house of God all the time. It's not enough that they continue to serve the Lord no matter what. We cannot, as a church, as an individual, be content with yesterday's manna. It can breed worms. We cannot live off the past while we can glean from the past and be encouraged by the past. We need fresh manna today. We need heaven to feed us with today's manna to sustain us with the morning's dew. We should expect God and long for God to work in our lives. The psalmist was looking for and expecting his own testimonies to pass down. And we should too. This may sound like a great place to stop. We go, "Woo, stop right there." But it doesn't stay like that. It's confusing for the psalmist. See, he said, "Well, they've served you of old. Lord, look what you've done. I'm trusting in you. Well, we're going to have victory." Well, let's read verse 9 through 15. But there's a contrast. "Lord, we were trusting you, but thou hast cast off and put us to shame." We don't like reading verses like that, do we? "And goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me." That bothers us, doesn't it, to read that? And most modern day Christianity today, it bothers a great many people. Even though the psalmist has heard of previous testimonies, even though they are trusting God to save and to deliver them and expecting victory, things were not going as expected in accordance with verses 4 through 8 that we just read. They weren't going like that. They weren't going for what he was looking for in verses 4 through 8. I want you to consider what the psalmist has experienced and what he is feeling and see if it helps to identify possibly where you may be at now, or maybe what you have been through in the past. And if you have experienced these emotions in the past, then you too have your testimonies to pass down. Look at some of the things that he says is happening at the moment. Just look at what he says. Verse 9. "But thou hast cast off and put us to shame and goest not forth with our armies." Now he felt as though God had forsaken them. Did he not? I mean, how many times did the psalmist say things like that? Now, it doesn't mean that God has totally forsaken us, does it? But do you ever feel like that? Absolutely we have. Well, I think we would be dishonest to say we haven't. I think it's dishonest to tell the younger generation, hey, you're never going to feel like God has forsaken you. Really? You're never going to feel like that? Now, I can say God will not ever forsake His people. I can say that. But I can also say you will feel times where you feel like God has forsaken you. The psalmist has experienced great trouble. He feels like as though God has forsaken them and God is not with them in the battle. He says, "You go not forth with our armies." Lord, our armies are out there fighting and Lord, You're not there. You're not with us. Now that's a terrible thought and feeling, isn't it? Who wants to feel like they're in this battle of life and feel like God's not with them? What child of God wants that? None. It's a thought and feeling, one that can tempt us to throw up our hands and say, why do I fight this battle anymore? Why do I keep on serving? Why do I keep on trying to do right and keep on trying to serve the Lord when I feel like the Lord's not there at this moment and I feel like I'm being defeated in my life? Why fight this battle with the flesh and with the world when it seems like God is nowhere near? Why fight when I feel so alone? I don't feel the presence of God. Look at his feelings there in verse 10. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy. And they which hate us spoil for themselves. I mean, see, this right here goes totally against all the people who name it and claim it. Boy, if you just trust God, everything's victorious. Let me tell you what, you can trust God and fall sometimes on your face and sometimes go in the opposite direction. It may not fit into our ideology, but it's true. Now, this is more, and I want to say this. I've used the word feeling quite a bit because I think it's important to some aspect. But this is more than just a feeling in the fact that they had experienced defeat. He didn't feel like their enemy defeated them. Their enemy defeated them. They ran the other direction. They had indeed experienced defeat outwardly. This defeat is not a feeling, it is real. They had experienced defeat against the enemy. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever faced your enemies, your giants, your Goliaths, and they have taken you down and you have left going in the opposite direction? Ever seemed like because you have experienced some sort of defeat that you are going in the wrong direction? That's when he says that we've turned our back from the enemy. So did the psalmist. He says we had to turn back. We were supposed to go that way, but because of such strong opposition, we were not able to overcome and we ended up going the other direction. He says that they were spoiled by the enemies. Have you ever went through a difficult time? You were trusting God in it. But in the end, you felt forsaken, defeated, and taken. That's some of the things he's saying. We felt forsaken, we were defeated, and the enemies took us. Took our spoils. They took from us. We lost. Feel like you're losing? Verse 11. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat and hast scattered us among the heathen. Has your life ever seemed like you were going nowhere? You were just scattered in all directions. You see the wicked in their prosperity. Verse 12, thou sellest thy people for naught and dost increase thy wealth by their price. You see the wicked in their prosperity and you wonder, why is your life a mess right now? Why are you the one having the hard time? Maybe the world is making fun of you and your faith at work or at school. Verse 13 and 14, thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. He's got a lot going on, doesn't he? A lot going on. He feels defeated. He's run from the enemy. He feels taken. He feels alone, like God's not there. He said, well, you know, there's some deep-rooted closet sin, right?
None of God's people who are right with God are ever going to feel like that. That's a lie. I don't know what you're going through right now, but it doesn't mean that.
You might feel forsaken and scattered and taken and defeated. But we're more than conquerors through Christ that loves us. We'll get to that in a moment. Look at verse 15 and 16. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. You see, we're saying they trusted you, I'm trusting you, we're going to have victory, but Lord, it's not there. My confusion is continually before me, for the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and the avenger. You can identify, can't you? You can see the confusion and the shame. Here they are claiming to trust in God and yet have experienced defeat. He went into this battle he was facing confident in the Lord. He went into it trusting the Lord like his fathers did. Yet he's found himself running from the enemy, going the wrong direction, scattered and taken. And the enemy is still blaspheming God. He is still defeating the people of God at this time. No doubt the psalmist like us at times would raise our hands and say, why? Why? And we would respond as said, maybe, well, there must be sin, right? Surely Israel is not right with God at this time. If you see a Christian and you feel like that they're going through emotions like this, and you assume that there's sin and shame on you, it's not that way with you, is it, always? And if they're confused, we've all been there. But that's why he is so troubled. He doesn't understand why this is happening. Let's read the next few verses, verse 17 through 22. For this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee. Neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back. Now they had to turn their backs on our enemies, but our heart isn't turned back. Neither have our steps declined from thy way. We're still going to serve the Lord. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search us out? He says, I know if we're doing wrong. I know if we're committing idolatry. God knows about it. For He knows the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. There are a few quick things here we need to take note of. One, as said, He knows that all this has happened to Him has not been a result of some sort of sin or unfaithfulness. Now, it's natural when we experience such defeat or such trials that we might take a look at ourselves and say, Lord, am I doing something wrong here? That's natural. I think He did that. And He says, no, there's not. We have not turned back from the covenant of the Lord. Our heart has not turned away from God. We have not declined from walking in the ways of the Lord, even though He has broken us. It's natural for us to look at our life and search for sin when we experience circumstances and emotions as maybe He did. But however, it's possible to find that that they are not a result, or they're not the cause of what is going on. Sometimes we can be experiencing such things and we may try to deceive ourselves in God. That can happen. We try to convince ourselves that's not due to our sin. We can do that. However, the psalmist deals openly and honestly before God, knowing God knows his heart, and he knew God knew the secrets of his heart. He knew he couldn't hide anything from God, and he knows as he stands bare and frank and open before God, he knew that what he was going through right now was not a result of forsaking the covenant of God, of idolatry, of his heart against God. He knew that. So even though he knew this was true, that he had not done wrong, that this was not God's chastisement, this is where we're getting good here at the end here. He was determined, in spite of all of this, to still do right and to keep on serving God. Do you see that? Isn't that good? Even in the midst of defeat, even when they've been running from their enemy, even when he has felt forsaken, even when he has been taken, in the midst of all of this, he says, look what he says there. He says in verse 18, our heart does not turn back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. He said, even this hasn't caused us to start going against God. Listen, a lot of people are fine with serving God and following God when all is good. How are you when things aren't so good? How are you when you've failed on your face? How are you when things haven't gone how you thought they should go? When you've heard of other people and their victories, and right now you don't have any right now to hang on to, but you feel defeat and forsaken. And you feel like you're scattered. The psalmist says, we're still serving. We're still walking. Oh, what faith and holy desire he shows. He's going to keep on serving the Lord in the midst of what appears that God has forsaken them. This is a real test to our faith and holy resolve. When we find ourselves experiencing circumstances that seemingly defeat us, scatter us, take us, and confuse us, and still yet we identify and say with the faith of Job, though the Almighty slay me, yet will I trust Him. Wow. That's the faith that David is showing right here. This is the test. The testing of our faith. Will we trust God in difficult times? Even though we have been faithfully serving the Lord, when we cannot figure out why things are so hard right now in our life, why that maybe our marriage is hurting so much, and we've been going to church, we've been faithful, we've been trying to serve God, we read our Bibles, we pray, and things are tough right now. Are we going to keep on serving God when we tried to raise our children right, and we try to instruct them in the ways of righteousness, and right now they don't want to even be near God or His house? We are trusting now. We are trusting with those things. See, David's at a time where he's experiencing these things, and he says, I still want to trust God. See, when you're doing right and trying to serve the Lord and things aren't going so well, your marriages break, your kids maybe are going away from God, will you trust Him now? Your faith is being tried. And I give you permission this morning to feel forsaken. To feel forsaken. I gave you permission this morning by the Word of God to experience defeat. And to take those cries of your hearts to God and tell Him how you feel. Tell Him what you're experiencing and lay it out before the Lord. But do not take the permission to give up on serving God. You can't quit and you can't give up. No matter what's happened to your marriage, no matter what's happened to your family or whatever it may be in your life. When we cannot figure out why things are so hard in our life, but we don't give up on following Christ and His Word, and this is what I want you, one of the things I want you to get this morning, And hear what we're saying when you feel like all of that, not experiencing all of this, and you're still here, you might feel like you're barely moving. You have not ultimately been defeated. Think about this. Your faith in Christ that He has given you, it is a victorious faith. And your faith has not failed, and neither shall it. I love what Jesus told Peter. Peter denied the Lord, but what did Jesus tell him? Your faith shall not fail. Yeah, well, Peter denied the Lord. Where's Peter at afterwards? The sign of victorious faith. The sign of victorious faith is not that we have our days, that we stop the mouth of lions, but that we keep trusting God when we haven't. Our faith is victorious, not just when we see the sea depart before us, but when we keep following and trusting Christ while the billows wave over our soul. Is the psalmist ultimately defeated in the psalm? No, he's not. He may have been running from his enemies, and there may be some experiences of defeat, but he's running to God. And that's what we cannot miss. He's still going to keep serving the Lord. And his faith is ultimately overcoming and victorious during this most confusing time. Now, I love this connection. Hold your place. We will turn back. But turn that verse there in verse 22. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Does that have a New Testament ring to it? It does, doesn't it? Do you remember where it's at? Romans chapter 8. I want you to turn there and look at that. When you think about that passage in its context of how we have seen all of this in Psalms 44, you understand why that Paul uses it the way he does in Romans chapter 8. In verse 36, I need to throw verse 35 in there as well. Romans 8, 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Was David experiencing some of that back there? You bet he was. As it is written. Where is it written? Psalm 44. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He was recalling this psalm. He was looking back to what David was going through and the persecution, the defeat, and the enemy overtaking them. But yet he says this, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Doesn't that make it all come together right there? Isn't that good? Back to Psalms 44. In continuance of what the psalmist says, verse 23, he says, awake. Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Does the psalmist have enough theology, you think, to know that God isn't actually sleeping? Of course. But he's giving us a visual picture. He doesn't know why God doesn't arise and do something. Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? Lord, it's like you're sleeping. Lord, we don't know where you're at. Why can't we see you? Why have you forgotten us? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly cleaveth unto the earth. And his last cry in this psalm is, arise for our help He's telling God, Lord, arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Remember this morning when God seems like He's sleeping, when it seems like God is hiding and He's forgotten you, and you know that you're as low as you can go, bow down to the dust. Keep trusting. Keep serving. And keep praying, understanding and knowing this, that the love of Christ from God to us that He has in Christ does not waver. The persecutions come, the defeats may come, the trials shall come. We'll be confused, we'll feel defeated, persecuted on every side, mocked and made fun of. We served God faithfully, but this didn't work out. Our family might not be doing so well. Keep serving the Lord and know this, that His love for you has not changed or wavered one bit. Our supposed defeats in life can be turned to testimonies of God's victory, of the faith He's given us to bring us through them, and of Christ's sustaining, abounding, unconditional love that held us through it all. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray for Your people this morning. Father, no matter what they may be going through, and Lord, I know that You have had this message for this morning, and I'm confident in the fact that You have this for Your people. Lord, maybe just a reminder to some of what You've brought us through in the past, that we might just give You thanks, and a fresh reminder to ourselves that it wasn't us, but it was You that enabled us to press through. And Father, I pray that for those that maybe are currently going through things in their life to where they feel forsaken and experience defeat and feel taken and mocked or whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that they would see this psalm and see that how David responded and see that in spite of all of it, he's still going to trust the Lord no matter what. At the end of the psalm, we close with that cry, arise, O Lord, and help for Your mercy's sake. Father, I pray for struggling lives in this church. Those that are struggling with defeat. Maybe that have been defeated many times because of their flesh. I pray for those that are struggling with defeat in their family. Maybe their marriages are rocky. And their marriage doesn't feel very victorious at the moment. Or maybe struggling parents that just don't know how they can continue to keep pressing on and trying to do right. Oh God, encourage them today. Give them strength anew for the day. Encourage and faith and let them know how much You love them as their people. And Father, I pray that we would leave here with a stronger and holy resolve to serve Christ in the good days and the bad days. And I pray that we would pass down, Lord, the testimonies of Your grace that has sustained us through it all. And that the onlookers and the newcomers and the new believers and the young would not look at our lives and think that we've never struggled. That they might see our struggles and maybe identify with them, but be certain that You will be there for them as You have been there for us. Thank You for Your Word, for Your Spirit, for Your strength, for Your grace. Thank You for that love that no man can take away from us and shall never forsake us. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.